Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. How are you? I know y'all was enjoying that good music. Once again, welcome to Ask Dr. Ava with the Blog Talk Elevated Network. This is what the Elevated Places Network, I mean, not Blog Talk. They ain't got nothing to do with us. So it's the Elevated Places Network with Ask Dr. Ava. So once again, we're here live.
And,
yes, last week. Oh, there you go. Well, alaikum salam.
Technical difficulties. My apologies. Thank Allah.
No problem.
That it got resolved. Assalamu alaikum again to you, Brother Terrence. Everyone that is on board tonight. But you go right ahead, beloved. Get us in motion.
Oh, no. I ain't got nothing to say first. But if you
well,
want
let
me to go ahead.
Just say.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Now, I just want to welcome everyone, of course, to blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And this is our Thursday night edition of the Elevated Places Network presentations. And, of course, we are thankful to our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, our legal contributor, attorney Pamela Muhammad, who has been so stoic and patient with me as I've been immersed in so many other things. And she herself hosts a magnificent program on Tuesday nights, A Time for Justice. And, of course, my wonderful co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. It is a pleasure to be with all of you this evening. Assalamu alaikum. We have a lot, of course, to cover. The vaccine mandates are intensifying. As one of my colleagues on executive council described it today, they have reached a new level of crazy. And all of this is part of the unraveling of Satan's world. And so these are difficult times, but it is a blessing to live in these times. And I must share with everyone that I was blessed to be with my colleagues on executive council at the Michigan location yesterday with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I'm so happy to report that he is in good spirits. He is looking good. He is sounding good. He is, everything is good. And, you know, when you just have a, when you have a few hours with him, it is a, it's a lifetime of priceless wisdom, divine wisdom, God himself speaking through our beloved minister. And I know we have a great program tonight, and we're so happy that our dear brother, student minister, Willie Muhammad, is here to tell us about what occurred in New Orleans with the powerful hurricane that was named Ida, and then other things that he may wish to share with us about what is going on in the Southwest. So with all that, Brother Terrence, I'm going to turn it over to you. Take us further in.
Oh, man. You done said a lot. Let me just say this. You know, it is a blessing. Oh man, it's you know, way more than a blessing to be in the light of the sun of man in our midst. Yes. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and you said hours. Some of us say, "Look, can we get a glimpse? Can we get a second? Can we get just like, whew, okay, that's enough." It's just almost like just to be in the presence, and you talking about hours. It's like, good gracious, the light. Can you see anymore? It was so bright. That is always a blessing. And it's a beautiful thing when I hear you say that, Dr. Ava, and I don't think people really get it. You know, like you said, you've been in this mission for 40 years with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and that same sentiment and energy and happiness and joy from being in the his presence is still the same as though we have just seen him for the very first time. And it just bears witness to the spirit of God that dwells in him, the spirit that he exudes when you're in his presence. You can feel the energy. You can feel the difference in the atmosphere when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is present, wherever he may be, whether it be a 101, whether it be 10,000 in attendance, whether it be five, no matter what the number, just his presence alone is magnified in the room, and the spirit of the people is just uplifted. And we can bear witness to this when we go back to our sister Aretha Franklin's service, her funeral services, and all he did. As it said in the scriptures, he didn't say a mumbling word. He just sat there 9 hours. And just his presence in the room conjured up so much controversy, so much love, so much admiration. All he do was be there. And people were just in awe, just him sitting there. So it's a beautiful thing to start the show and to get a report of his spirit. Because if his spirit is good and well, then that means our lives are well, and that we have the chance to do better and correct our wrongs, as we saw in the former edition of The Final Call. But we know we got the opportunity, because now as we're going into this weekend, the 20th anniversary of 9/11, which is astounding, like 20 years have gone by, and we are here at this point. And we know the backlash that came from 9/11 to the Muslim community, and the stories and the harassments and the surveillance and the bugging, like New York mosques, masjids were just bugged and surveillance, and, you know, the sisters getting their hijabs pulled off locally in my city, and hearing the different violence and stuff that was going on to the Muslim community. At the same time, Qurans were out of stock. People were buying Qurans like crazy. Islamic pamphlets were going like crazy. People wanted to understand what is this thing called Islam. So it was a unique time. But you need to go read the Final Call newspaper. Go to finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com, and study up and get the information and hear and go back and study about what happened in 9/11. But right now we want to know in the current time, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, the criterion. We always want to bring that up, July 4th, 2020, because we're in the midst of a pestilence from heaven. So as all of those are looking around to try to figure it out, everybody knows I'm an Aggie. Everybody knows that I love homecoming. Everybody knows, but Morehouse has closed out their homecoming. North Carolina A&T State University said they're going to have a homecoming, but they stopped the parade. They stopped the Greeks from coming on the plots, which is the one of the biggest outside of the game on campus. And they said, you cannot come on the plot. If you come on the plot, you will get threatened with suspension, and anybody coming to the game has to be vaccinated. I was like, to go to the football game, you got to be vaccinated? I was like, wow, or have to have the COVID test. And I'm like, man, this is getting crazy. Just to hear these things that are going on. And not only that, like I said, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan gave us the rest of us. He gave us instructions, and he has not lifted off of the instructions and things that he has given us and the warnings and the precautions. And now, Dr. Ava, as I said in the final call, you can learn about what we're doing on a weekly basis to talk and address the issues of COVID-19 and the vaccinations in the final call. Monumental address, July 4th, 2020, is a must from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as well as coming, listen every Sunday to the lecture at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org. But also we have our self-improvement every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Go to NOI.org, and Farrakhan speaks the time and what must be done on Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. NOI.org, so you can get all of this good, good, good information. And as you said, Dr. Ava, all federal employees, as Joe Biden now put out, that you have to be vaccinated, all federal workers and employees. And I'm like, wow, that's a lot of people. And pushing that and mandating that. So we're going to see what the backlash is and what comes from that. So as I want to pull all of this together, Dr. Ava, and wrap up on these last good pieces before we bring on our guests, shout out, or not necessarily shout out, but we want to remember our brother Michael K. Williams, who has passed away and has left us. And some people said it was drug induced, and you know, we're still waiting on all of the details. But one of the things I would say as we lift him up, it's also an interesting thing that I saw a tweet today, Dr. Ava. They said not only some people miss him because they loved him as a great actor, we loved him as Omar, but they also in the queer community, they loved him because he brought, they said, a masculine man. You know, they had a gay part with Omar in The Wire and another show that he was doing, Lovecraft, whatever the name of that show was that he did. He had a part, and they lifted that up. But I was like, the brother was a good brother, as a lot of people have lifted him up and how he cared for our community as just a brother in the streets of Harlem with Fred Hampton Jr. People have seen a brother loving house music. It was a good brother as we lift him up. But also, just want to remind everybody to know how to handle grief, because I'm recognizing a lot of people are losing people as we lost Biz Markie, we lost Michael K. Williams, we lost DMX. And I know Sister Elder in my community passed away, and another one passed away last night, and someone made a post about a lot of lives are going. So we want to be able to handle the things that we're seeing that's coming in our lives. And then in Richmond, we still are taking down statues, Dr. Ava. They took down Robert Lee's statue in Richmond, but the laws and legislation are still in Richmond that Robert Lee stood for. So until they change the laws and all of that, then they can just put the statue back up because everything is still in place. But I do want to close with a historical thing that I just learned. I want to shout out Brother Nasheed, Brother Nasheed down in Charlotte. You know, I was talking to him. I went down to Charlotte Sunday just to get some of his good ginger juice, pineapple, or mango. But he started talking about Dr. Ava. He started talking about a class, the minister's class back in Philadelphia with you, him, Brother Jamil, Brother Carlos, and he just started running down the history. And in the early days, I was like, man. And he's a reservoir of history. And I just say all of those brothers and sisters that are in the ranks, or not even in the ranks, that was there prior to 75, or that came in the 80s, that came in the 90s, please tell your story. Please give that history. Talk to Brother Carlos. Talk to Brother Akbar. Give that history of the building of this wonderful nation of ours and the elevation of our people and that historical account, Dr. Ava. We don't know who was in those classes with you as you was coming up in your beginning. And just to know that my brother, Brother Nasheed, was in the same class and he's still in his mission and he's still working. There are so many scholars that don't have the title, but they have so much information that we need to tell that story. We need to tell the story of the pioneers. We need to tell the stories that we may remember that we think everybody know, but remember, someone just joined last week. Some just joined last month, so they don't know the stories of the Million Man March and the Millions More Movement. They just know what they know now. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it back to you. I'm excited we're here. And I'm just so excited that you even mentioned the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and that he is well. That means that all of us should be happy, happy, happy that the Messiah, the Son of the Man of God is in our midst, is doing well. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Oh, thank you, Brother Terrence, and thank you for that phenomenal report. Really appreciate you. And, of course, there's another person we're grateful for who's doing a very important work. And as these mandates become increasingly oppressive, and keep in mind, people, that everything the government is doing, almost 100% of these actions that have been taken during the, quote, pandemic, have been illegal. Almost nothing has been done through the proper legal channels. It is clear that what Minister Farrakhan described as the unraveling of a great nation, let's not forget that Savior's Day message that preceded the arrival, the official arrival of COVID-19. It had been here for a few months. But its arrival was it was unknown, it was underground, but its official arrival was 2 weeks after Savior's Day. It was March the 15th of 2020 that the government made it known. And I think, in fact, it was March 11th, I think it was the 15th that everything shut down. It was March 11th of 2020 that the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 to be officially a pandemic, a global pandemic. So look at the speed with which the Savior's Day message was manifested in real life in real time. And that has been happening rapidly ever since. But with that said, I do want to thank Sister Attorney Pamela for her hard work. And we owe her, and I know I owe her much more support than she's been getting, and I'm committed to doing that because we're moving into a time where legal representation, not just by lawyers who are academically and professionally ready and prepared and have the credentials, but most important, they are people of faith. They are people who believe in the all-wise, true, and living God. So with that, please welcome to the microphone our legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Yes, ma'am. I would say all praises are due to Allah, Sister Dr. Ava Muhammad. I have to just say I'm so humbled and honored to be a part of this Elevated Places Network team, and to just be all the nice things you say about me, everybody on this listening, you know, within our listening audience, we know that, you know, it's you on this platform that is just the beautiful, hardworking, inspirational sister, and we thank you for all that you do. So, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I said that to you. Yes, ma'am. And Brother Terrence, he is just, I wanted to make sure while I'm thinking about it, Brother Terrence, you know, you're just fabulous. All your hard work and, you know, your ability to just be so articulate. I just really do appreciate that. And it's so interesting because, Sister Dr. Ava, as you talked about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and your ability to visit with him and the fact that he is at Light giving his son to us. And then Brother Terrence brought up Aretha Franklin and how he was present at the funeral. It made me think about how earlier today I was playing Aretha Franklin, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I just felt so inspired because I know, we know who that Jesus is. And so it gives us such great comfort to hear, Sister Minister Ava, that, you know, the message that you bring, that you were with him and that he's well, and that's just beautiful. And as you were saying, I think with the executive order, I think is what President Biden announced today with these mandates that he's ordering, not only to the federal government, even though he did say federal executive. What did he say? He said the executive branch. He made that announcement that he was ordering the branch, yeah, requiring the executive branch, federal employees. That's what he said to get this shot. But then he also went on to talk about not only the contractors who do work with the federal government, but then he even talked about private employers that have over 100 employees. And as you said, it's just, you know, it's just outrageous because under what authority is any of this coming? Starts arguing back and forth with the governors and trying to tell them what they shouldn't be doing. The schools, telling the schools that if they don't like what their states are doing, then don't worry, they can go with the federal government. So, I mean, it's such confusion. And, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up because I really wasn't going to talk too much tonight about it, but I wanted to because our show on Tuesday, A Time for Justice, we really looked at family law and the attack on families that happens in courts, but we were trying to give families better advice on how, when they're in crisis, you know, to handle themselves, to be fair with each other, to deal with conflict resolutions so you don't have to go into these court systems where it results in just, you know, destruction of your family, your legacy. And so as we looked at Biden said today, then they come on and they start talking about increased child, like, you know, tiny totter. They talk about increased children given affordable child care for children and mothers and especially low income. And it really, it just belays any common sense that we look at that as being anything but a threat, because this is the same government that in the final call you see them attacking black women. There's an article where a black woman was attacked by a Chicago cop, Nikita Brown, harassed and assaulted in the park because she was there for, you know, 10 minutes. You know, you see in that article by Tariqa Muhammad that, in, you know, a 2017 study said that black women are at the highest risk than any other group to experience sexual assault by law enforcement. And so we're talking about racial profiling of black women, There was that Sister Anjanette Young who was handcuffed and naked on TV, if we recall that.
Yeah.
Then we know that, you know, we've got this racial targeting attack and just outright genocide we saw with our brother Ahmaud Arbery, and the fact that this Brunswick Judicial Circuit DA, Jacqueline Johnson, she finally has been indicted because she was involved, she was indicted for a violation of public oath and obstruction of a police officer because they have evidence. They're saying that she tried to get McMichael and the police, you know, McMichael, who was the killer of Ahmaud Arbery, or one of the shooters of our brother Ahmaud Arbery back in February of 2020. And everybody remembers that case because that's when they got in the pickup truck and just start, you know, chasing our brother down and shot him with a rifle. So this DA got busted trying to get no charges filed. That's really what it comes down to. She advised another DA be on the case, or, you know, she recommended, but then she had supposedly told that DA prior to how to handle the case. So we're seeing this systemic racism that is in these courts. We see Elijah McClain, who was murdered August 2019, and, you know, in the article in the final call, it talks about how throughout the encounter, this poor baby was just saying, "I was just going home. I can't breathe." But you have these, I think it's four or five officers that were indicted, five officers who were recently indicted for his murder. And so, you know, it really, as we look at them talking about child care and Nancy Pelosi is visiting and, you know, they want to build back up. Better plan, that's Biden's plan, where they're proposing this guaranteed access for affordable child care for low and middle income families. It really is something we got to look at because, again, we see these shots and we see them trying to get these children in the schools, or, you know, this is the big push they get in schools. But then finally we have this article in the final call, Sister Ava, and I just have to tell Sister Charlene, the national correspondent, wrote an excellent article. It's entitled "Exposed: FDA and CDC Hiding Data on Severe COVID Vaccine Side Effects in Children Under 12. And the article is amazing because they're now, in her article, she's detailing how there's a new disease called multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, and it is especially seen in children who were injected with the mRNA shot. And if they weren't injected, they are around these family members who have been injected, and they're shedding. This is what a doctor is saying in this article. So you got this multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children. 40 children under 12 had died. 4,200 more have experienced dangerous side effects. You've got little babies who they claim are, you know, according to this doctor, he's reporting that they are having blood clots within a few hours of their parents being vaccinated. You got 2-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 6-year-olds reporting some types of symptoms. And as this doctor said, Brian Artis, this is who she, Sister Charlene Muhammad, reported in her article. He says that, so you push this on the masses of children and allowing them to go back to school, you know, and so, again, child care, the subsidies, all free for low-income children, all of this is connecting. So we have to look at the targeting and what's going on with our black families as they're attempting to, you know, push this genocidal plot. So That's what I wanted to share, Sister Dr. Ava, and just encourage the listeners to tune in on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time to A Time for Justice. The Elevated Places Network presents A Time for Justice, and we would love for you all to listen to our show. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Wa alaykum salam, and thank you as always. Sister
Pamela. All praises are due to Allah. Thank you, sis.
Yeah, this is a truly diabolical scheme that is taking place now with these vaccinations. And we're going to just continue to enlighten and inform. And I'm really imploring us to read our Final Call newspaper each and every week. Read all of it, but pay particular attention to the COVID section, because number one, through that you are getting the mindset and the position of the publisher of the Final Call newspaper, none other than the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. What is Minister Farrakhan's position on every aspect of COVID-19, the virus, the vaccine, the suppression of overwhelmingly effective and natural remedies? This is a virus that there is already a 99% survival rate, 99%. And it could be more than that. It could be virtually 100 had it not been for the suppression of natural remedies. Why are you fighting us tooth and nail to accept death and injury to our person when all we would have to do is follow some natural treatments and therapies? But above all, this is about a battle between the immune system and a virus. And Allah, God, has given us more than enough tools in our own immune system. And if we would go back and look at Study Guide 18, Rising Above Emotion into the Thinking of Allah, God, Minister Farrakhan devotes one section in that study guide, which is really a book within itself, but he devotes a section to the actual biological makeup of the human being. And he talks about our ability to defeat invasive pathogens. Well, the situation that we are in now is easily handled. We have the solution to this problem. If we're paying attention to the message and the criterion, the minister never said this problem could not be solved. He told the enemy, you will not solve it. And so now, as was so beautifully, exquisitely laid out by Dr. Christina Parks, a black woman, and we have her testimony that was played when we did the seminar on how to protect yourself against COVID-19 several weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago, Friday. And if you recall, she explained quite clearly that when it comes to the subject of variants, because I hear a lot of us sounding like parrots or dolphins or some pets of the devil, because whatever he says in the news, we just run out and repeat it. So some of us are running around talking about what the variants are doing. But the variants are not our problem. The variants are the enemy's problem. When the minister told them the virus mutates, he told them, you will be running around trying to make a vaccine. And lo and behold, a year later, here's a microbiologist, a black woman who states very clearly, and she's not the first one, but I love that it's coming from a sister in the strongest way possible. The problem is the vaccine. Vaccines are limited. And these aren't even real vaccines. These are gene therapy. But a vaccine can only address the variant of the virus that it's made for. Once the virus mutates, and they all do, the vaccine no longer is able to recognize it. That's what's going on now. This is not the unvaccinated. This is the vaccinated. They have the virus. It's like a duh moment. When you get vaccinated, the virus is being activated in you. So you're going to test positive for coronavirus, for SARS-CoV-2. And then you have to ask yourself, why are vaccinated people being tested? Every day we're hearing about somebody fully vaccinated who tested positive. You all know I watch the NFL, and you know I'm keeping up with that, and I'm looking at teams losing players who are fully vaccinated. They have to be quarantined because they tested positive. Why are they testing people over and over again? I'll tell you why. Because cases are necessary to paint a picture of an epidemic. Because you don't see this thing in reality. You see it on television. That's where it is. It's on television. It's not out here in the reality of the atmosphere. And the cases that are occurring are easily treatable with the solutions given to us through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Ivermectin was one of the 14 therapies he named during the criterion. We studied it, we looked at it, and we finally decided, those of us, and I'll say Brother Alan Muhammad, Sister Amina Muhammad, myself, Dr. Ridgely, Sister Charlene, we're the ones who are writing and submitting these articles, and I'm editing them. And as we do all this extensive research and we find out that in Mexico, ivermectin brought down the cases almost to nothing. India, where the Delta variant originated, and they had a severe spike in cases. It dropped like a rock, like falling off Mount Everest. Why? Because the government distributed ivermectin to the citizens. But it is not allowed here. It's being condemned as being a veterinary medicine. It's for animals. The word vaccine means cow. All vaccines come through animal testing. Here's the people who eat animals for their meals, and they're making mockery of the fact that ivermectin initially was used for parasitical invasion of animals, and then it was learned that it could be effective for humans. It's been used for human beings since 1987. It has won the Nobel Prize. It is listed by the World Health Organization with two other medications as the most positive impact for humanity in the world of medicine. Penicillin, which the enemy withheld from us during the Tuskegee experiment, penicillin, aspirin, and ivermectin. It is listed on the World Health Organization list of essential medicine. So don't be silly and naive and ask after we give you a presentation with our health and medical professionals, and then you come behind that, some of you, and say, oh, I heard it was horse paste. I heard it was an animal. What's wrong with you? This is why we're called blind, deaf, and dumb. Stop it. He said, he meaning the Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of Minister Louis Farrakhan, go where he goes. Stay away from where he says stay away from. But if we ignore what is in the Final Call newspaper, then we don't know where to go and where to stay away from. But we're listening to Hoda on the Today Show. We're listening to Rachel Maddow and Anderson Cooper or somebody out in the street. They said, They said it's for animals. Who, the same people that fed us the intestines of a hog, have the audacity to come and tell us what is unfit for human consumption? Stop it. But we're going to get into our program because we got our brother to hear from.
And if you enjoyed that speech.
Really. I'm sorry, Brother Terrence. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just saying, if you enjoyed that wonderful rendition of great teachings from the national spokesperson, you can go to MinisterAva.com. MinisterAva.com, they have just completed their class number 3. And sisters, I know you had enjoyed it. So if you want more of that powerful fire that she has just received from the son, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, please go to MinisterAva.com and get more of these lectures and powerful sermons and life-giving teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, taught today by the Messiah, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Back to you, Dr. Ava, for our guests.
Allahu Akbar. Well, I think it's time for us to introduce our guest.
Yes.
And he's called a special guest, but he is a family member. And that is another brother who's been out on social media platforms and representing the position of the Nation of Islam effectively, and we're blessed that he has taken time to be with us tonight, and I'm speaking of none other than student minister Brother Willie Muhammad. Thank you so much, Brother Willie, for taking time to be with us. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam to you all as well, and all praise due to Allah. And wow, we're gonna get to the Hurricane Ida, but I want to thank you, Sister Ava, for just the words that you just shared, and the role that you played and others played in bringing to us that panel that took place. I believe it took place the weekend we left for Hurricane Ida, because it's so needed. And my last word on that is that one of the things I'm noticing as it relates to this vaccine issue is that most of the people who are confused or in favor of it are not reading or even listening to the other positions that are out there, either intentionally or because they're heavily censored on social media. But what you just said, we need to get a clip of that. I don't know if they have a replay of this show. We need to get a clip of that and put that on social media. Inshallah, I will.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Well, you know, our listeners are really interested in knowing. I mean, you were ground zero, and we know that Allah, Master Father Muhammad, is really whipping it up. And we're taught that when you see the forces of nature at work, that is the active will of God. It's not just the permissive will. He's not just allowing it to happen. He is making it happen. And we're taught that when we see that, it's not only what the enemy is doing, but it's what the enemy is planning to do. So we're always grateful when the followers are able to come through such a thing. But if you could just share with us not only the actual things that happened, but as a spiritual man, as a minister, your perspective on what happened. And then you're not limited to that. We're so happy to have you. You can go on and get into any other topic. Yes, sir.
I thank you all again for this opportunity. And I'll first start off by, you know, when I'm talking about Ida, I have to express my appreciation and gratitude to Almighty God Allah, who appeared to us in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, because this storm, this hurricane, was stronger in wind capacity than Hurricane Katrina, and it touched ground and made landfall at a larger at a Category 4 than Hurricane Katrina, and I'm expressing my gratitude because if this hurricane would have been on a direct path to the city of New Orleans or even closer, this city would have been wiped out, because we've seen what Katrina did at a Category 3. And driving through the city now, one of the major differences between Ida and Katrina as it relates to damage is Ida devastated the Louisiana power grid. It damaged more than 30,000 utility poles, close to 35,000 spans of wire, 5,600 transformers, and there were over 900,000 people were without energy. In the city of New Orleans, for the first time, 100% of the city was without electricity. My family and I just returned from Mobile, Alabama on yesterday, and I want to give a thanks to our brother student minister, James Muhammad of Mobile, Alabama, for opening up his home to my wife and my family, where we were able to be there from Tuesday following of Ida until yesterday, and I want to thank him for that. But, you know, so now the city is slowly coming. It's coming back to about 90% of the people have electricity. But when you drive through the city of New Orleans, you still feel it's like there's a void there. You know, many of the stores have not opened yet because I think they're dealing with their employees trying to get back, trying to find housing. When you go through the city, you see trees that have been here for some like 100 years. Ripped into pieces. This storm knocked out eight of the there's like these transmitters that provide electricity to this area. It knocked out all eight of them. It's not going to have the same amount of financial damage as Hurricane Katrina, but nonetheless, it still is. And even though the city of New Orleans was spared and the levees held up this time, and what's interesting, there was reports of a barge that was let loose during Ida as well. And during Hurricane Katrina, that also happened too. And we know what happened with the levees, but it didn't happen this time. But there were reports. It's interesting how these barges, all of a sudden, they just get loose in the Mississippi and it can wreak damage on these levees. So in regards to that, you know, these outer parishes, these lower-line parishes, they really took a hitting. And a brother posted on social media, there's this parish that it has a very interesting history as it relates to the black and white relationship. You know, blacks in this town were basically had to fight against the Klan and all type of racism and segregation. It took a very devastating impact. And so, inshallah, God willing, we'll be working with some people within our city to begin to provide some aid to them. On Saturday, and I want to give a shout out to this sister Christina Muhammad from Austin, Texas, mosque number 64, who heard the Honorable Minister Lord Farrakhan's desires of wanting to see coming out of the 10,000 fearless a disaster response team. And this sister, along with her husband and other believers, have been doing that. And she'll be in the city, inshallah, on Saturday, and we're going to be providing Ida relief supplies and resources to those who've been affected in the city of New Orleans. So it's, you know, it's so much when you think about these hurricanes. And with Katrina, 30% of the people in the city of New Orleans did not have transportation to leave the city. You know, when evacuating for a hurricane, there's so many factors that go in. And there's some factors when I often bring this up when I hear us inside the nation talking about disaster preparedness and some of the things that we miss, because you have to go through this to understand this. You know, other great challenges when dealing with these natural disasters and hurricanes and evacuating specifically is some of the tough decisions you have to make. How does it feel to try to persuade your mother, your grandmother, your father, your uncle, your relatives to leave the city because of this pending storm mm-hmm. that's coming or whatever the disaster may be, and they don't want to go?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and some have had to make that decision where you have to leave your mother and your father because they do not want to leave.
Wow.
And then you have to think about it as well when you do evacuate. And these are some thoughts that we have to think about. Who are you going to evacuate to? What people? Because you're already stressed. because you're leaving your home and you don't know what you're going to return to. Some believers found themselves in homes with members of their family members who they love but have a lifestyle that's completely different. And you will be amazed at how little situations about the eating arrangements, how that can add to tension in the community, in the home that you are with your family. Say, oh, y'all too good for us. Y'all can't eat what we're eating. And they don't realize that, no, we're not trying to portray like that. But what we're doing is, you know, we don't eat pork. So this is why, and I'm telling you, I learned this during Hurricane Katrina. And I'm thankful for the structure in the Nation of Islam. In Hurricane Katrina, the vast majority of the believers were able to get out of the city. With Hurricane Ida, we were able to put together a database and we were able to calculate it. 80% of the believers were able to get out of the city. Those that remained, few of them had generators, but they made out fine, right? But the structure of the Nation of Islam is such a way that we can go to many major cities and we will find a community of believers, where it's a study group or a mosque, that believe like us. And I want to thank those believers who, during Hurricane Ida, from Atlanta, from Houston, who opened their doors to believers, as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan asked when we were experiencing Hurricane Katrina. And let me say this. I found this out to show you how the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not a man that asks us to do something he's not willing to do. We were on the set of a recording of a documentary for this local bounce rapper, and it was about violence. And while we were there, a brother introduced me to a guy who was hired to provide security. He was like a sheriff deputy. You can go and research him. His name is, I actually interviewed him. His name is Michael Ward. He's a violinist. So one of the brothers introduced me to him, and the brother said, man, he started talking about his love for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He met the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan on one of the Tom Joyner cruise ships, one of the cruises that they had. The minister saw him playing a violin, and, of course, the minister plays a violin, and conversation started, and the minister invited him back to the cabin on the ship. The brother gifted the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan one of his violins, and from there he said the minister would periodically just call and check on him. He said that when Katrina hit, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan called him and offered for him and his family to come and live in the palace in Chicago until they were able to get back on their feet. Now, I've been in this city. This is my first time ever hearing it. The minister has never mentioned it. And so the brother, he laughed. He said he respectfully declined it because he said, Brother Minister, you know, for one, he didn't want to be that far away from the city of New Orleans. He wanted to be able to come back and forth to check on his properties and get it back up and moving. But in addition, he was like, well, Brother Minister, I like to party, too. I don't want to come into your house late at night. So the minister, you know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan didn't stop there, the brother told me. He said that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan paid for the rent for his apartment in the city of Houston for a year.
Wow.
The heart of the minister. When I sat at the table with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in Los Angeles, we were eating Indian food, and I made the remark that I didn't start eating Indian food until I had to live in Baton Rouge after Katrina. And when the minister stopped, he said, did we do something for Katrina? And I said, yes, sir, Brother Minister. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has never stated this publicly. He shouldn't have. We can testify. The minister wrote checks personally totaling over $50,000 to help believers who were impacted by Hurricane Katrina. And he didn't ask them all the details like FEMA and these other people do for them to give you aid. He just asked us to provide what they need. And that's not in addition to the minister paying for the final call to come here to do a documentary. Him coming here and using his voice to inspire the other activists here to galvanize and prevent them from making these areas where black folks live into green spaces. And he went to Cuba, as we know, with a delegation to study their hurricane response system. So, you know, going back to with Ida, 80% of the city of New Orleans was underwater with Katrina, but 100% of the city was out electricity with Hurricane Ida. And one of the challenges. Also, you have elderly people who they can't make it to the now designated evacuee locations that the city has come up with post-Hurricane Katrina. So you've had elders. There's a home that we own. It was on my wife's heart. She just kept thinking about one of our tenants who was an elderly lady. And we got back in the city the first time to clean out our refrigerator. She said, we have to stop over there. This lady had been in this house for a couple of days with one remaining tank of oxygen left. She's dependent upon oxygen. You know, there. So you get the elderly people who can't move, who can't get out, right? And you have some people, here's another dilemma, where you have a car, and the car barely takes you to work here in the city of New Orleans, but now to evacuate, you have a car that seats four, but you have a family of seven or eight. What are you going to do?
Right.
And so those are some of the things. So my encouragement to the believers, and I'll say this, I don't know if you ever saw it, Sister Ava. I'll send it to you. I'll send you the link. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan did a believers meeting in the city of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. A very beautiful believers meeting that's timely to, it has guidance that will help us during his departure. And so after the believers meeting, you know, there were those who are around the minister. They heard the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan say one thing, and they interpreted a certain way. So they were coming to, it was like, so when are y'all moving from New Orleans? The minister said you got to move from New Orleans. He said this. And so that put the believers in a certain, those believers who wanted to come back, you know, they were kind of on the edge now. So the next day in the suite with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, I brought that up to him. I said, Brother Minister, I didn't hear you say that we shouldn't move back. Now, of course, he told us about what can happen and what preparations we need to have. And I said, but some have interpreted your words to mean that. And listen to what the minister say. He said, brother, I didn't say that. He said, wherever the dead are, we need to be. Wherever the dead are, we need to be. And when I told the brothers, when I talked to them as they were telling me that some of the people, I said, brother, you got to remember that the book is called The Fall of America, not The Fall of Louisiana. There's no hiding place in this country. So to those, as they quoted in the Final Call newspaper, and I think Ida really just showed us something. I just saw a clip on TikTok where the Yankee Stadium is still, the bottom of it is still flooded with water. People were watching Ida, never thinking that the rain that Ida was pouring down on the state of Louisiana would also make it all the way up to Newark and New York and flood the subways and streets. We all need to prepare. And I tell believers, work on developing genuine relationships with believers and others and even outside the country, because we're going to need them.
Man, I'm going to let you jump in first, Dr. David. I got a lot of reflection just on what he said. No, I think, Dr. David, it's so much. I mean, we can, if Brother Willard said nothing else, we can parse all of what he just said on many, many fronts. Because the last part of it, just when he said about we didn't think about how it reached, not only did it go to New York, and I have people that was affected in New York with the flooding in New York, the hurricane. When you saw a tornado in New Jersey, a real tornado in New Jersey.
Think about that. That's true.
I mean, like, I saw the real tornado in New Jersey, and then my cousin, I literally called my cousin today. He was literally test driving a new car because his car was total in the flood in Philadelphia. And then we talk about evacuations. We were thinking about evacuation in New Orleans, but we weren't thinking about evacuation in New York. And Linda Sarsour had mentioned something on social media that triggered my thought, was that New York is about to be flooded, and people don't have enough money to get above-ground apartments. They got to live in these basement apartments in New York. And if it floods, they're stuck. They can't get out because there's buildings above them. They're in a basement, and if it floods, they just flood it out. even the evacuation of the homeless, or if you evacuate, where you going? And those real things. So it's like, don't y'all leave? It's like, what you mean? I get paid on Friday. The hurricane's coming on Wednesday. What I'm going to do? I ain't got no gas money to even get out of the city. I don't even have gas enough to stand in line for the long lines to get gas. And that's why, you know, we at the Hip Hop Caucus, along with some other organizations, you know, we put up $10,000. Another organization the other day gave us $10,000 to actually literally put like at least $100 in people's hand, because we think, oh, we need the $10,000. No, people need some money now. I need some toiletry. I need some feminine hygiene. I need some for the children. I need some gas. I need to just get a meal. Just the little things. But one of the things Brother Willie did say is that we have to have these relationships so we can go somewhere. And the beauty of the believers opening up their homes and having homes for us to be able to open up to bring in people that need that is very critical. But I will say this, and I'm gonna get off it real quick because my tears are balling up in my eyes. And I can't – it's hard for me to not cry when I think about Minister Farrakhan and what you just shared, Brother Willie, is that we know over the years, all of us on this call have a story. And I've said this many times. I can do better in the scriptures. I can do better in learning the teachings. But I have seen enough to know who he is for myself. I have seen enough that I can bear witness. And when you continue to tell these stories of $50,000, I've seen him be at a restaurant. He pulls out the money and pays for everybody sitting there. I've seen that. And we've seen time and time again that the money that we give to him, he gives right back. And looks after the believers and look after people that do not even, quote unquote, consider them part of the nation, not registered. And when he said what he said, come to stay at the palace, the minister was not saying idle words. That family would have been moved in. And for him to offer that, it's just that the love of the minister and the concern for us that we as in leadership and as the believers should have that same love. And I thank our sister again, Sister Christina, because we had talked when this started to happen, we had talked about how can we help, and that she's actually going to be on the ground. And I got to go to another state tomorrow, but I'm trying to get down there too. Sister Inaja, how we doing the hip hop for New Orleans, NOLA, and we're raising money. We got some concerts coming up this Friday, Saturday, and some on the 18th. And we're going to get truckloads to bring down there. But like you said, it's interesting how lives spared and that it just turned just enough that it wasn't destroyed. And it's also interesting about the barge, because one of the our brother Seth 4-5 said, he said the storm passed, but it's the levees that broke in Hurricane Katrina that made the water flood out and do what it did. He said, but the storm had passed. But if this storm hadn't just a little bit turned in the wrong direction, but the fact that it did is damaging in Louisiana, but also went all the way up the East Coast, is crazy.
And this, you know, Brother Terrence, this enemy is so wise. They evolve in their ability to do wickedness. Like, they don't assassinate people in the same manner that they did 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, I saw something where they took out this African leader. When he was going through the airport, they studied what type of underwear and undergarments he wore. And when he put his stuff through the device, the luggage, they got hold to his luggage, switched out the T-shirts that he wears, his size, and they replaced the T-shirts with this T-shirt that had poison that would enter his body as he puts it on, and he begins to perspire, and the man died. So I'm saying that to say, like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan mentioned, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said he quoted someone during Katrina from a radio show, and he said this scuba diver, according to this man, said he found charred remains of the levee. So the minister said, I'm not saying that this is exactly what happened, but I'm putting this out here for those who have the ability to go and research it to see if it is true. But these people are so skillful that they can say, they're looking for us to blow it. All we're going to do, we're going to release one of these barges and then make it look like it was just a regular accident, you know, and it happened. And I think for your listeners, I know people saw Spike Lee's documentary about Katrina, But if you want to see what it was like, and you can stream this online, if you want to see what it was like to be in the city of New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina, go and look at this documentary titled Troubled the Waters. This sister was in the city, and she had a recorder. And it's, you have to see how fast that water rise, right? And people now, like, you know, people now still haven't fully recovered from Hurricane Katrina and with Ida. Luckily, my family and I, we were planning to leave on the Friday before Ida struck to bring my oldest daughter to college at Tuskegee. And we just extended our hotel stay. So we had the means to do that. But to evacuate is very expensive. It's expensive. You got to think about hotels. You got to think about food. You have to think about gas. And if you wait to leave late, a trip from like here to Baton Rouge is really about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, almost about 50, 55 minutes. But if you leave late, a 55-minute drive can turn into a seven-hour journey because there's that many people on the interstate. And imagine, listen, you couldn't get gas in the city of New Orleans. There's a brother who's my barber, and he has done this thing where he has done some work to help reopen this beach that was populated by black people in New Orleans. He was driving to Mississippi to buy gallons of gas to come back in the city to give the people because the gas lines were long. And they already had a situation where a 20-year-old brother skipped the line, and this 36-year-old man asked him, like, yo, what are you doing? Words were shared. The young brother went back to his car, got a gun, shot the brother. And let me tell you this. So it's detention. Is very, very thick because people don't know where to live. Like, think about it. For us in the Nation of Islam, we know how it is to, one, eat once a day. But we also know how it is to go without eating food for 3 days. And Ramadan, some of our people have been on the earth for 50, 60-some years, have never even imagined not eating anything. So imagine what happens, what comes out of them when it's time for food. Now, I'm going to share two examples. 20, 22 or something, I was living with my mother. And there was one of these hurricanes that were coming. And I was like, Mom, we got to get out of here. We got to go. She did not want to leave. She did not want to leave. So my younger brother, he didn't want to leave either. So I took my middle brother. And by that time, we couldn't get out the city, so we had to go to the Superdome, right? So we're in the Superdome. I'm looking at everybody. And I'm in the Nation. I'm looking at everybody. I see the Asians. They're all together. They got all their food together. They're together. See this black family come all together. They sat down. They had a bunch of food. When I tell you, by the time the next morning came, all the food that they had already eaten it. So wow. I had an apple. And so everybody's looking at the television monitors. And I took the apple out to give to my brother. And there was a man. He looked. He said, man, that apple looks good. And now the hurricane had, the hurricane was on its way. I said to myself, man, we got to get out of here. Because I said, if this thing goes longer, people are going to turn on each other in here for food. And luckily, the hurricane passed the city and what we was able to be released and get out of there. And here's another thing, too. When the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, he talked about how these winds. Do you know that Ida winds were so strong that it made the Mississippi flow backwards? It changed the flow of the Mississippi? That's how powerful the wind is, right? And I was in my car today. I was thinking about the winds. I looked at my speed, the thing that shows you your speed. The highest my car goes is 160. I said, man, it had winds that are faster than my car if I pushed it to the max. Do you know one of the reasons why they tell people too to stay inside when you have hurricanes? Because it can take something like a pen, a pencil, or a needle, or a nail, and it will turn that into a bullet. That wind turn it. That's what they tell people, like, to stay inside. Don't go out there. You see them news journalists out there trying something, smack you in the head and kill you. So And here's the thing, too. You know, New Orleans is pretty much is built on swampland. So when you get to the outer parishes like Slidell and stuff like that, that's pretty much they build. They still have some subdivisions in between former swampland that they just made. It's just land out there now. You can Google it. There was a lady that her and her husband came downstairs. It was right outside of Slidell. This is outside of New Orleans. They came downstairs to try to get into their garage. Their whole bottom floor was, the whole bottom first floor of their house was flooded. An alligator grabbed her husband by the arm. So she's swinging at the alligator, trying to get him loose, trying to get her. When the alligator let loose, her husband's arm was gone. So she grabbed her husband, put him on the steps to try to go run upstairs to go and get something to stop the blood. When she came downstairs, the body of her husband was gone. They still have not found him. This thing, Greg, we were driving back into the city. There's an alligator, on the side of the highway. I'll send you the pictures. In uptown New Orleans, somebody has a dead alligator. The tail is hanging out the dumpster that they're dumping and putting sheetrock in. So this thing brings the animals out. I'll show you, and right outside of some of the parishes in New Orleans that are close to the Gulf, there are dead dolphins on the highway. Because when the water started residing, they couldn't get back in it. So it's like it is something. I know believers who, and one of them, he didn't rebound from this experience. He was here during Hurricane Katrina, and he told me he saw babies floating in the water. Like, imagine seeing that. The debt rate compared to Katrina to Ida, I think there was only two people in the state of Louisiana. I think one of them drowned in New Orleans, and the other, I forgot what they say happened to him. Most of the deaths took place in up north, right? 61, I think. So it's like you can go. I remember one time in Chicago, there were people dying because there was a heat wave and people didn't have air conditions. So we can't, no matter where we are, we can't get complacent because it can have, what does the scripture say? When it says hurricanes and tornadoes in diverse places, I'm paraphrasing it. I know Sister Lenora is listening. She would know that scripture. But that's God letting us know that this thing can jump off at any time, in anywhere.
Any place, any time. That's right. We thank Allah that he protected the believers. Thank you.
Definitely.
For that.
Definitely.
Well, we need to start, I think, going to the phones, because I'm sure we have a lot of people lined up that want to weigh in on tonight's discussion. That's very powerful, Brother Willie, and especially this last part about nature, you know, and the animals and the sea life all coming up because of the water. And how here's an enemy just continuing endlessly, relentlessly to try to kill everyone with this genocidal plan of depopulation and this scheme of jabbing everyone with this vaccine, so-called vaccine. But Allah is showing the enemy and us his power. He can just wipe this whole thing out without hardly thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I know this is a little... Go ahead. Yes, sir.
You make a very – prior to Hurricane Ida, the news stations and the news cycles were dominated with vaccine, the COVID. You see when that hurricane hit? It was all about the hurricane. I told my wife, I'm like,
come on.
You would think COVID don't exist anymore.
Right. Just knocked their stuff out of the news.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing the superior power, and it's a little bit of digression, but it's still relevant. I was watching probably the 1,000th documentary they've made on the Titanic, and they were talking about the iceberg that the Titanic ran into, and another time I'm going to pull out the actual details. But to make a long story short, the iceberg that the Titanic collided with and that took the Titanic down wasn't even supposed to be where it was according to the normal course of nature. And you know, we must never forget, we're taught that nature, the forces of nature are the active will of Allah. But that particular iceberg survived the journey that most icebergs that break off at the Arctic Circle dissipate and begin to melt away as they travel south. And where the Titanic hit it in Newfoundland, it should not have been the size that it was. It should have melted. This they estimate the weight of this iceberg at 500 million tons. And its height actually was the height of the crow's nest of the Titanic. That's how tall it was. And yet it wasn't as big as it had been. But the iceberg broke off and began traveling south the same year, 1911, that the Titanic was being built. And it was because of a certain act of nature that that iceberg went further south than any iceberg had gone. And it was sitting there basically waiting on that
ship. Waiting.
Because there was the boasting and the arrogance of this world and of the Caucasian over this unsinkable ship. And you know how the scriptures talk about all of everything that the wicked do ultimately is against themselves. And we all know the fact they did not have enough lifeboats. Lifeboats were actually taken off the ship because they took up too much space. On the top level where the wealthy were, they were interfering with the ocean view. These were the kinds of reasons that they took the lifeboats off. And all these events that occurred ultimately led to this ship going down in less than 2 hours.
Wow.
And again, it's the last minute effort to make a turn once they actually saw the iceberg. It was one of those nights where the water, the ocean was completely still. Had the water been moving, they would have seen the waves lapping up against the iceberg, and they would know something was there. But it was pitch black. The stars were out, but the water was like glass. It was just perfectly calm. And by the time they saw it, it was too late. But had they run straight into it and collided, they would have been stuck there and could have been saved. But by when you try to avoid your destiny based on your arrogance and your wickedness, and at the last minute you try to avoid what is going to happen, you actually bring about your own demise. And the minister said in the Criterion to all of the world leaders, repent. Allah will not punish you when you are in the midst of repentance. But instead of repenting, they have increased in their wickedness and in their plans against the black and brown people of this planet and red.
That's right.
So we're gonna go to the phones, but you brought all that out in my mind as you were describing what happens, and a lot of the things we don't think about in these situations, and even the stress in and among families that it brings about. And then we were talking in New York. Yeah, exactly. And you know, all of this, the pandemic, the hurricanes, the weather, and I remember the meteorologist saying, they said, you know, if you live east of the Mississippi, you're going to feel some impact of Ida. Mm-hmm. And I know here we had some thunderstorms. I know one day it was so windy, and it just got dark all of a sudden. You know, it was eerie and scary, but then it opened up and the sun came out. But it was like the God was saying, "You better wake up, okay, mm-hmm. and snap out of it. You don't have nothing to deal with me."
Nothing.
Submit.
Nothing.
That's the time we're in. Submit.
Yeah.
It's amazing. We're going to start out. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
This is the Bible verse, Luke chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "In great earthquakes in diverse places."
In diverse places.
Yeah.
And they talked about the poverty in New York and how in New Orleans, the wealthy, the financial district, Wall Street, they put more money into protecting the wealthy white areas in every city.
Yeah. And look what else this verse says. Diverse places in famine and pestilence and fearful sights there shall be from heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Here it is. There it is. Oh my God! I see this photo of the tail of the alligator in the dumpster. That is terrifying. Ooh, that's like a monster movie. Oh my God! All right, so we got Brother Daryl, one of our longtime loyal listeners, Brother Willie, and he's first. It's usually a competition between him and Sister Ula Muhammad. Brother Daryl, assalamu alaikum.
Oh, wa alaikum salam, family. How are you all doing?
We're being enlightened here tonight.
Yes, I bear witness because our brother Willie has really opened up a lot. We're like maybe 3 or 4 hours away from New Orleans. And he took me back to when Katrina. And you remember when the minister said himself, when people said they were shooting at them because they was getting food to survive, the dome was overwhelmed, and they was raping and doing all this stuff. But the people said that they heard levees like they was being blown up with dynamite, and that's how so much water came through. So the minister said, if New Orleans is not going to do right by the people, the black people, it would never be right. And you could sit right now and see like time standing still there. They have done nothing in the black community of New Orleans. So Allah is sending it back again. Like he said, the minister said, you would never be right until you do right by us. So here they are coming to set us off with the book. One of the books of all of America is right here. When he was speaking about the wind, we got the after fact, and we was going to leave. And I could bear witness, a lot of our family didn't want to leave. But when we finally left, Allah had blessed me with a 33-foot RV. We loaded it up. And he's not lying. When we was out there, and we left when it became a 3. And when we left, the freeway was so devastated, I could not believe what we were seeing. So the freeways was crowded, the gas stations, it was like almost like when we was going to the Million Man March. People was everywhere trying to get out of Florida, and the freeways was on jam, but we left enough time to get out. When we came back, it was so devastating, but Allah blessed the believers because I had a double wide and a single wide, but he split the double wide in half, but it took a few shingles off our home. But when I looked up, we had a pine tree, and that's a fact. You better not be out there when no winds are blowing. It was a needle from the pine tree stuck into the house. A needle.
Think about that.
Wow, a needle from
a pine tree. That's how powerful I could bear witness with our brother saying. This is nothing to play with. And now here we are about 2 years ago. We have not recovered right now when we got hit with Sally. I'm still fighting with the insurance companies. We have not.
Well, that's another.
Everything is at a standstill. Tarp all over the house, skirting gone, garage damage, everything is just like we're stuck in time from Katrina, I mean from Sally. So this is what this white man is doing, and God is whooping America. And what he said about our family, you remember the saying in Noah, when Noah asked Allah to save his son, he told him, don't ask me no more. If you do, I'll kill you. Because if he was your son, he would be on the boat with you. That's talking about us, the believers.
Yes.
So we
come on.
We better tighten up. It ain't no bloodline. It ain't no bloodline. The bloodline is the Nation of Islam, and our brothers and sisters, we better get very acquainted with each other quick, because we're going to need, I sit on 3 acres, but we could put tents up. We could share food, because when you go
That's
among
right.
your bloodline, they are tobacco smokers, alcoholics, whatever, and you're going to think you better than us. You don't want to eat no pork. This is what we're going to go through if we don't get it together.
That's
so I don't want to be on the soapbox. But this thing is so real, what's going on. So my prayers go out to our family. My mother's doing well, but she's just got rushed back to from therapy back to the hospital. Her breathing is not doing well, so I pray all out there. Believers put a prayer in for my mother. They said she has a lot of blood clots. Yeah, she has pneumonia. She's fighting that now, and she got a lot of blood clots. So I'm praying a lot.
Yeah.
That he brought her this far, he'll take her the rest away. We just lost a pioneer the other day from COVID and stomach cancer. So our prayers go out to our family here. So we're going through it, so we better pay attention. As long as the minister here, we got a chance to get it together. So I love you all. May Allah continue to bless your show, so favor. And I thank Brother Willie. Keep up.
Praise
and we got to do it. And one more thing we have to do, and I'm glad Brother Willie said it. We have to testify what the minister has done. And I'm glad you expressed that with us,
That's
brother.
That's right.
Because I could bear witness, too, what the minister did for me when I was losing my sight. He did take care of everything. He don't have to be, you don't have to be a believer. The minister take care of his people because he loves us. And so when we get a testimony, we
right.
pass out it to the world. Because the minister is doing his job.
Got
we got to do our job.
And
And I want to say this, too, because this is important. When there's a documentary that the Final Call did. No, it's one of the lectures that the minister did in New Orleans immediately after Katrina doing. He spoke at the St. Augustine Church. He spoke at the Watson Memorial Church on St. Charles Street. And then there's footage that shows the Alvarenza Louis Farrakhan seeing the night war for the first time. When we turned and the minister saw the devastation of that the night ward had experienced, the minister broke out in tears. And he said he was asking a lot. And then he started saying, he said that Katrina was a disaster, a man-made disaster and a God-made disaster. But also one of the things that he said, and he later said it for those, they can go and read it in the lecture, the Final Call article, or column, The Beginning of Sorrow. But the minister said it here in New Orleans after seeing Katrina, he said that Katrina represented also the beginning of Allah's chastisement of black people with the forces of nature. Because remember before kind of Katrina, you would hear stuff, and it would be in white neighborhoods. The tornado that knocked
That's
out the
right.
whole white neighborhood, and the black folks standing in front of their little shack. Thank God and thank Jesus. But if you saw after Katrina, we begin to start seeing more and more of these disasters that now we are getting caught up in them as well. And the minister said that Katrina represented the beginning of that.
And look at it. Now, that's what we're sitting here talking about, how these how the black communities are getting hit now.
And I'm going to read his exact words. He says, quote, I told them Allah God brought a punishment to America, but he also brought a punishment to black people, and that punishment is going to spread. There will be many more disasters that we are not prepared for in this country. End of quote.
Separation or death?
Ooh, and Sister Ava.
And I remember,
you know,
in 2015. Oh, yes, sir. Go ahead.
No, go make your point out. Happy soon.
Well, in 2015, when he was on his tour to promote Justice or Else, and he was a guest here on the Cliff Kelly Show in Chicago and WDON, and he said that we were just beginning to see the punishment. We were being chastised for rejecting Allah's messenger. And there had just been, I'm going to pull it back out because I can give you a timeline, but there had just been a killing of a black person by the police. And he said, you haven't seen anything yet. He said that on the program.
Mm-hmm.
He said it's going to get much, much worse. And
yeah.
Less than a week after he said that, Dylann Roof, because he was talking about the fiery serpents and the anger and rage of white people, and that a black man had been elected to the presidency and things that were occurring, but yet we had rejected Allah's plan for us, which was separation. And less than a week later, Dylann Roof went into Mother Emanuel Church.
Yeah.
In South Carolina,
yeah.
And killed nine
yeah.
black people.
Yeah. It's you know,
less than a week after he said it.
I remember evacuating to Atlanta after Gustav, and it was just amazing to see all of these newly built subdivisions just were empty. That was right at the time the housing market fell, and I just thought about, like, you know, just envisioning us, if we could literally go and start our own subdivision or go buy all of them there. And that's that little area where you got to come through this gated area. That's ours. And when we were in Mobile, Alabama, I looked at the subdivisions there. I was like, man, we got to begin to start thinking that to, and as you said, separating to where we're not in Allah's way when he wants to get to this enemy.
That's the point. That's the whole point of separation, the initial point. Get out of the target area. Get
yeah.
away, because I'm taking him out. You know, we're like the hostage that has an opportunity to run, and we just stand there and won't leave.
Yes, ma'am.
Unbelievable.
Mr. Ava.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to jump in here because living in Houston, we've experienced some hurricanes as well. And, of course, when Katrina, I experienced the families coming and the melting pot environment where New Orleans families were coming into the Houston environment and into the courts. And, you know, it was really interesting. So we do have to work on, like, I know you, Brother Minister Willie, you work on conflict resolution.
Cool.
And we do need to really keep working on that amongst our people in preparation
mm-hmm.
for these continued events. Because the one thing I want to say, like with hurricanes, like you said, the ability to respond, I think, is so
mm-hmm.
keen, you know, to
yes.
hear the word. That, you know, it's almost like you can put your finger up in the wind and you can feel
mm-hmm.
it. And it's like, you better go, you know, because, you know, it's like, put your stuff in the car. Come on now, let's start. Because you only have this window to
yes.
get out.
Yeah.
And, we hop out there, don't we, Brother Willie? We speak. Like,
yeah.
We got to.
And
yeah.
It's
yeah.
There's so many. You know, I want to give thanks to Brother Jabril Muhammad that during Hurricane Katrina, he provided some valuable guidance to me and some things that he said. And this is something I'll share. He said that, you know, oftentimes when you go through traumatic experiences, he said you begin to start seeing how insensitive people are, and they don't even know they're being insensitive. And when he said that, what I mean by that is because when believers were dispatched to other cities, and some people saw them there at the mosque with a suit and bow tie on, with a garment, and physically they looked good, and people just, you know, hey, right.
like not realizing you're talking to someone that doesn't even know if the very home that they grew up in and all of their
right.
memories are still there. There are people that came back.
Traumatized.
Imagine coming back to your house and the only thing you see is the steps. Katrina, a brother came back. The only thing was just the steps.
Wow.
Like, there were people in Katrina, a brother told me, his mother told him this, she was talking to a neighbor. The man said he looked out the window and was like, man, look at what's-her-name house floating past me. Man, look at neighbor house floating. And he said it didn't dawn on him. Their house wasn't floating. It was the house he was in that was floating.
Wow.
Yo, you can imagine. So it's like it's understanding that because we could be so surface, and if a person is, if they still have all their limbs, we're thinking like, yo, these people, they're good. You know, they're good. I remember personally, we evacuated for Hurricane Katrina, but I'm stuck in front of the television watching our people outside of the convention center begging for water, help and help. And all I would get up in the morning, brush my teeth, and turn on the news and be locked. And I said, I really have to back away from this. I begin, like, you begin to start having nightmares because watching, taking in all of that, that trauma. You see what I'm saying? It's just like, yo, so it's so much that goes into witnessing and even experiencing a natural disaster.
That's so true, Brother Willie, that when after Katrina, because my daughter was a newborn, and she was like 7 or 8 months old when Katrina happened, and we were watching people coming in, we were watching the Trump, and about a month or two later, then Ike, one of the hurricanes came to Houston.
I remember that.
And it was Ike. And it was so scary. It was so scary that I looked up, and I was in St. Louis. We had gotten, you know, because the trauma is like, oh, that's going to happen to us. So we drove and drove and drove all night long and went up and down highways. It looked like just, you know, 7-8 hour packed highways, bumper to bumper. People were walking on the highway trying to get out of Houston. So it is very traumatic when you see it.
And you remember when they had that recent, her brother Tawan, the recent freeze that they had in Houston. Now you've seen the commercial where they advertise these mattresses called the selling point is that they form to the shape of your body when you sleep in them, foam mattresses. He said it was so cold inside of his home that the actual foam mattress had frozen.
Now this is
in Houston, Texas. This ain't in Chicago, Detroit. It's in Houston. It was that cold that the foam mattress froze.
Wow, yes, sir.
And they had nothing for it because, again, this idea like this ship can't sink. This can't happen.
Exactly.
Come on. Woo! No, this can't happen here.
It.
No, wherever Allah decides, it can happen. It can happen.
Go down.
Okay.
Yeah, but real. Dr. Ava, that point, that's the most powerful. I mean, that's one of the most powerful points that you just laid out, because all of what we were talking about, nobody was expecting. Nobody was thinking that was going to happen. Because as we was watching Louisiana, we was watching New Orleans, and we was literally getting to commemorate the 16th anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. Who would have known on the 16th anniversary that another hurricane would hit on the exact day of the anniversary? And not only that, we appear playing for the Gulf Coast and not even thinking about praying, because I remember somebody laughing. I literally, now that I'm thinking about it, remember somebody laughing about somebody said, well, they was worried about New York, New Jersey. And somebody was like, what the hell are you worried about New York, New Jersey? It's going that way. So how in the world it going that way going to do anything with New York? It's not going to jump and come back. But we also remember, was it Harvey, the one that, as the minister talked about, it gathered up some strength, came in, boom, hit, and then backed up, gathered up some more strength, and came back? I mean, we can't determine this. We can't determine what's going on. So like you said, when Ida hit New York, how in the world did Ida hit New York, where you see floods that you've never seen, the subways was just going crazy,
literally tornadoes.
Man.
So what we're seeing, we should understand what we are watching, and we need to really sound the alarm. And I'm just glad and I'm thankful to Almighty God. I remember with the national training, Sister Christina presented the award to Minister Farrakhan for her work that she had done because of him saying set up the 10,000 Federalists. And he said, no, if it's a copy, I will accept it on your behalf. But he said, no, you accept it because you were doing the work. So I say that is because as the believers, we're getting qualified for positions awaiting for us. So now she's been qualified to come into the community to help.
She's
Brother Willie is qualifying himself and others to go into the community when the hurricane stopped from the skies and the rain, but the hurricanes that's going on in our community with the conflict resolution, because if there was conflict resolution, not from the gangs and killings, but just in the family homes, then we can resolve stuff so we can get together and unite and get up out of there together. We'll have a place because we're united as a community. So when you just said that, Dr. Ava, it just sparked so much because we under this belief that it can't happen here. It won't happen here. When a tornado hit Greensboro, I'm like, what the? How did a tornado, like, literally, I'm at work, and somebody talking about, go check your house because it's raining hard. I'm there, okay, it's just raining hard. I go home, power out, well, let me go back to work because I know I got power downtown. Go back to work. Next day, as a tornado had just skipped across the city, like, literally, like a tornado, like, you know how little children just skip along? That's how the tornado did our city. It just skipped, boom, destroy that, boom, destroy that, boom, and just and literally skipped over my home. A section of our student secretary minutes skipped over our section to the next section. And I'm like, a tornado came to Greensboro?
Yeah.
We thought it was interesting. I was, you know, they have some of these trees in the city of New Orleans that if they catch you hammering some type of advertisement to, they're going to arrest you because they consider these trees to be historic, right? But many of them are just ripped up. And I was talking to my barber. He made a good point. He said, if you notice, man, he said that many of the trees that end up also getting ripped up, these are trees that have already been eaten up internally by termites.
Yeah.
So you see them, look like this big, strong thing, but then the inside of it has already been eaten up. And I thought about it today as we were driving. I looked at some of those trees. It just made me think about, as believers, as it relates to our trials. What is our continence, our inside? You know, are we a shell of ourselves because of disappointment? When we're walking around, we look like this believer. We look strong in faith, but in the inside, have the termites of our own disappointment and dissatisfaction eaten us, or even the termites in this world that they have created. So when these storms, when these personal storms do come, they end up uprooting us. So this is definitely, I think, in this time of us being with a mosque, the buildings are closed to really work on, you know, just really sustaining our faith, working on those areas to get greater understanding of what we believe in. But it's a great trial, man, to be there. I talked to my mother today, and I think they evacuated because at first she wasn't going to leave because everybody thought this was just going to pass and go. They thought it was going to pass and go. She said, it sounded like it was somebody hollering when that wind was blowing. And it wasn't, this wasn't for an hour. I read news reports say that this thing went on for like 10 hours. Could you imagine hearing winds at 160 miles per hour and rain for 10 hours? And imagine you're in your house with no electricity and it is hot. You can't go outside because it's raining and everything is flying. And it is hot. The food is boiling. You can't. It's nothing if you don't have any preparations.
What a show.
We're going to go back. We got Sister Ula has been waiting for nearly an hour. So we got to see if she's still with us. Sister Ula, are you there? Sister Ula. Well, we may have waited too long. Okay, we're going to We'll try to come back. She sometimes will fall asleep, Brother Minister Willie.
I do apologize. Okay. I just sent Brother Terrence to
we have Brother Mark.
This rapper.
Oh, go ahead. Yes, sir.
This rapper, DJ K Slay, on his Instagram, he has a video of the tornado in New Jersey. And listen to what he says. Never in my life have I saw some, he cursed, S-H-U, the S word, like this up north. This is New Jersey. I ain't believe it at first, but if you go online, you will see some extra wild looking, he cursed again up here. It's a tornado. And send it to him, Brother T. Take a seat.
Ooh. The unraveling of a great nation. We got Brother Mark
there.
Calling in.
Uh-oh.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Mark.
Well, alaykum salam, Sister Ava, Big Black Terrence, and Brother Student Mr. Willis.
No. How are you, sir?
I'm well, Sister Ava, by Allah's permission. And you?
Oh, the same. Praise be to Allah by his
praise
permission.
Be to Allah. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
As I'm listening to Brother Willie and all of you talking about the disasters that are going on, and I like what Brother Willie said. This is not the fall of Louisiana. It's the fall of America.
Come on.
I was thinking that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad stated that, you know, Allah laughs at America, basically, and they really should just go and give up without a fight.
That's
because
right.
They can't do nothing with the gods. But we all
right.
Going to face some type of disaster because we're living in America, and America's falling.
Exactly.
And as everybody was focused in on New Orleans and thinking the storm, well, that's going to hit New Orleans. And if you were in North Carolina or Georgia or somewhere else, you weren't really thinking about the storm like the people in New York and New Jersey. So Allah, let us be focused in on New Orleans because the devil had us focused in on New Orleans. And Allah took it up to New York and New Jersey. And it blew everybody's mind. Death and destruction.
Yes.
All the people dead up in New York and New Jersey. Then the next day, here comes Biden basically talking about climate change. And we got to be better with infrastructure to get prepared. As though you can fight with Allah. They wanted to see like it's everything but Allah. I'm from this little Farrakhan say, yes, somebody's changing the weather. And the weather's changing, but... it ain't what you think. It's climate, what they call it, climate change? No,
right.
It's Allah changing
that's
his
right.
Weather.
That's what we call it.
That's who's changing his weather. It's Christ is the one who's doing it. Those honor be Elijah Muhammad. It's all the Christ is doing his thing. And the thing about it is that they're losing their mind. The unraveling of a nation. Like when
yes.
I watched Biden today, he was so adamant in everybody getting the shot. And he was like, he was a tough guy as he was talking. But he said one thing today, Sister Ava, that stood out to me, and it reminded me of a conference. When you had the conference last Friday, the seminar about the COVID vaccine seminar, and it was said 70% of our people had not taken the vaccine. 70% of black people have not taken the vaccine. Today, Biden mentioned a distinct people are not taking the vaccine, and they're basically holding up progress. And it made me think. He's talking
about us.
And he's upset because our people are not the same Negroes we used to be. We're not following white folks the way we used to follow white folks. If they said something, that was the truth, that was the gospel, and we went with it. And I'm seeing how frustrated he is. So he makes an executive order, and it made me think, what the minister said, this is a fascist state. It's becoming a fascist state. And he already told us how this was going to go down a year ago. Can't we see who that man is? He done told us what was going to go down. So the mark of the beast was put out today when he made an executive order that all federal workers would have to take the vaccine. And 18% of those federal workers out of 2 million are black people. They want to depopulate the earth. But they want to get the black man and woman specifically because they know we are the people of God, Sister Ava. They know that. So they want to kill us, definitely. And, like, one thing I want to ask you, Sister Ava.
Yes, sir.
Sister Ava? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this.
I'm here.
If America was occupied by a foreign country and you and I helped the occupiers help us. Will we be called traitors?
Absolutely.
Well, when I look at the Taliban, and the Taliban won't let these planes go because America keeps saying her allies own these planes. Those are traitors, Sister Ava, but they're trying to fool the American people like these are people who are so good they helped America. You traded on your own people. So the Taliban is not going to let you go. They're not going to let you go. Why would they let you go? But white folks think we are so gullible and the American people are so dumbed down that we'll go for anything. And last thing, Sister Ava, just so many things going in my mind, that we, like the minister said, we're the end of the end. This is it. And like Brother Willie was saying, we got to see if we got termites in us and our faith is not being chewed away because we're all going to be tested. And even that food that we might have in our house that we're storing up and saving, it might not be meant for you. So we don't know where we might be when it all goes down or hits at a certain time. But we got to be in love with each other as believers, and we got to help each other and help our people because the only way out is not money going to save us, which we know. Our unity is the only thing that's going to save us. But we've been so rebellious against listening to the guidance of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We got to get this whooping. We ain't going to come together in no other kind of way, Sister Ava. That's just my opinion. But we keep doing the work, though, and warning our people. But we just ain't going to get it. We just can't let this devil go, even after all that we see and been seeing and been warned for over 90 years. So we just got to get prepared and gird up our loins, and may Allah bless us to make it through this dark hour. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Thank you, beloved. That's a wonderful call.
Man, I think we elevated, Dr.
Always elevating,
oh,
man. Thank you all for
this. No question about it.
Thank you all for this show. And in closing, I would say that there's some sisters doing some great work around. Like I thought, we talked about Sister Christina, and there's another sister. She's always on social media pushing disaster preparedness. Sister Tequila, I believe it is. I think she's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever city we are in.
Memphis.
Yeah, whatever city we're in, man, we should have some type of disaster response plan based upon what normally happens in our city. But we should also have something just to prepare. What if it floods? You know, what if we have to evacuate? Where will we go? You know, and put some money aside or something. Have a credit card this is only in case we got to get up out of here. We got to go somewhere and establish a relationship because. You know, many of us never knew, but we were Katrina. Just like right now, none of us would imagine if somebody in almost two years, the mosques won't be open. We would have been like, 2 years? Think about that. And look where
we are.
So, like Sister Ava said,
we don't know if they'll.
Yeah,
it's time for us to move from mosque to nation,
ooh,
and we're being forced to separate.
Yes.
If America is not going back to normal, so neither are we.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way we were living mm-hmm. within the paradigm of Satan's
mm-hmm.
world, and we have been integrated.
Mm-hmm.
We were warned as a people not to integrate. And so when the minister said, in Newark, in was it 2017, separation or death. That's what we're experiencing. And when Brother Mark reminded us of this demented president, Biden,
that's right,
coming out today and saying federal workers, if you work for the federal government, you must be vaccinated. And they're not accepting... They're not setting up something to get tested on a weekly basis. And that's a whole nother story because there's death in the testing too. But they're not even saying either get vaccinated or get tested all the time. You have to be vaccinated or lose your job. Well, federal work, as Brother Mark alluded to, is the number one source of the black middle class.
Mm.
most of the black middle class comes out of federal jobs. Corporate America doesn't hire us. Have you ever been out to Google, visit Google, Facebook, where we're the largest user group of Facebook? How many black people work for Facebook? How many black people have a managerial or executive position at Starbucks? Don't let me start running down all these death fast food places that we sustain. McDonald's, Burger King, the Kentucky Fried Chicken, Popeyes, fighting each other over a chicken sandwich. How many of us work in these corporations? How many of us are in managerial positions at the Marriott, at the Hilton, at United Airlines? You count them on one hand. That's how many. We work for Walmart, and we work for the federal government. That's where we work. And the devil is messed up because he's had even his people working for slave wages, and now people don't want to come back to work because they've assessed what's been going on. I'll do better just hustling somehow than go work for $10 an hour and have to pay transportation. So we have a lot to think about, and I'm sorry we didn't get to all our callers, but Student Minister William Muhammad, you have been so priceless this evening, and we just thank you for just bringing us. The Elevated Places is the place to be because there is so much talent and brilliance in our community, and we just need to unite together, bring this all together. And as you're saying, we need to prepare. We need to have something in every city. See, that's nation building. And we have a lot of believers. We've got a separation program coming up on the 21st of this month. Sister Donna Muhammad hosts, and Brother Cartier, they host our separation Zoom presentation. There are believers. There are black folks buying acres and acres and acres of land for residential, for farmland, for a combination, so that we will have a place to go. But we have to, as was said this evening by everyone, we must be united with each other. That's the number one thing. That's the weapon more powerful than a nuclear weapon or nuclear bomb, is our unity. And so if we would just come together and separate ourselves, we will be in heaven while they are in hell, where they belong.
That's true.
And in fact, I just got a text from Brother Louis Ali confirming. He said 75% of the black middle class work for federal, state, or local government. Okay? That's real. So I want to thank Student Minister Willie. I want to thank Sister Attorney Pamela. I want to thank Sister Executive Producer Rona. And I want to thank Brother Terrence. And I didn't say the last name because all of us are Muhammad. May Allah bless this family with love and the light of understanding as I leave you in peace. And please remember that we have another master class coming up for the sisters in October. We had a wonderful time Monday night with the Weapons Against Self-Destruction Masterclass Part 3, which was entitled Never Settle for Less, Removing the Weapon of Wanting Nothing. That's a weapon of self-destruction when we want nothing. May Allah continue to bless us with love and the light of understanding as I leave you all in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.